This week's block covers four books. We've got Enos, Jerem, Omni, and The Words of Mormon. Now, I'm going to be honest, almost everybody talks about Enos. In fact, if I were to say, when you think of the Book of Enos, what do you think of? I'm going to be a wizard and say most of you thought immediately the word prayer, or maybe wrestle before the Lord, right? If you're my age, you probably went back to the old seminary song, "Oh, my soul hungered, my soul." And it talks about how his soul hungers. And Enos, he's out and he's hunting and he wrestles before the Lord and he gets remission of his sins and all those things. Or if I say Words of Mormon, I'm confident most of you are like, oh, yeah, the Words of Mormon. That's where we get like a bit of the abridgment. And basically, Mormon's saying, hey, guess what? I am the reason you have first and second book of Nephi, Jacob, Enos, Jerem, and Omni, right? Because he abridges those not knowing why. And he says, I do this. I don't know why the Lord is having me do this, but I feel like I need to do this. And then you and I, we live in 2024 where we're like, oh, yeah, you did it because Joseph Smith lost the 116 pages, which was the book of Lehi, which means we're really glad that you have first and second book of Nephi, because then that gives us the recap that we lost. Make sense? Those two books, if I'm really honest, are probably going to come to you live at a Sunday school near you or at a family gathering or maybe both. Because again, they're very, I don't know exactly what to call them, they're very familiar. So I'm not going to tackle Enos. And in this next few minutes, I'm also not really going to talk about the Words of Mormon. You've just heard about everything that I'm going to say today about Enos and the Words of Mormon. But instead, I want to talk to you a little bit about Jerem and about Omni. So are you ready? Who is Jerem? Anybody? Bueller? Just kidding. Jerem is, he is the son of Enos, which makes him the grandson of Jacob, and Nephi would be his great uncle. Now, some of my nieces and nephews have the opportunity to have me as their great aunt, although they don't call me great, but maybe they should. I don't know, because I'm cool like that. Just kidding. But they have this great uncle, Nephi, who is deceased. Jerem's uncle is deceased. So is his grandfather, Jacob. And his father, Enos, gives him the plates. Now, we can tell that Jerem's family life was pretty solid because of how he starts his writing. His book starts with this. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. Now behold, I, Jerem, write a few words according to the commandment of my father Enos, that our genealogy might be kept. And as these plates are small, and as these things are written for the intent of the benefit of our brethren the Lamanites, wherefore it must needs be that I write a little. But I shall not write the things of my prophesying, nor of my revelations, for what could I write more than my fathers have written? For have not they revealed the plan of salvation? I say unto you, yea, and this sufficeth me. I love that Jerem had an understanding of the scriptures to the point where he's like, what else can I add? When it comes to the plan of salvation, when it comes to revelation and what you need to be saved, my great uncle, my grandpa, and my dad have given you all of that. As I read those first two verses, and candidly, every time I read them, I begin to always ask myself the question, so do I really understand 1st and 2nd Nephi in a way that helps me better understand Heavenly Father's plan? Like, think about it. There's some really power chapters that we have covered, with one of them being, I'm going to say it, you know, I'm going there, 2nd Nephi 2. Right? Because you have Adam falls that men might be, and we get the concept of agency, and you get the law of opposites. I mean, you want a jam-packed chapter? That one's jam-packed, but so is 2 Nephi 9, and what about 3:7 over in 1 Nephi? And we could name a lot of highlights that are happening there. So I love that Jerem says, I'm so glad that you have these words. But then Jerem does something really interesting as he switches gears, and he says, okay, I'm not going to tell you about the prophesying, but I'm going to tell you what kind of society I live in. Verse 3, see if this sounds familiar to you. Behold, it's expedient that much should be done among this people because of the hardness of their hearts and the deafness of their ears and the blindness of their minds and the stiffness of their necks. Nevertheless, God is exceedingly merciful unto them and has not as yet swept them off from the face of the land. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I thought to myself, oh, so Jerem lives right now, right? Hardness of their hearts. Know anybody that's like just so set and they don't have any open mind, any ability to see life from a different vantage point, or deafness of their ears? They don't want to hear the words of the Lord or of the prophets. I mean, we just came through general conference, and confidently, some folks are like, what? We don't want to hear the words of the prophets. Blindness of their mind. Note that it's not their eyes that are blind, but it's their minds. It's how they are thinking through things. And then stiffness of their necks is always my favorite, because I imagine somebody in like one of those really high neck braces type thing, and they literally cannot move their head from left to right. They are so unifocused. Is that even a word? Unifocused? I want it to be. They're unifocused, right? Like they are just so riveted on one thing, they cannot see anything else around them except their vantage point. And here is Jerem describing his day, and very candidly, I think it does sound a lot like 2024. And then he says this in that same verse. Did you catch this sweet little phrase right there? God is exceedingly merciful. I testify that God is merciful. He's trying to give you and I every chance that he possibly can to choose good things. So then Jacob gives us this little hint, verse 4. And there are many among us who have many revelations, for they are not all stiff-necked, and as many as are not stiff-necked and have faith have communion with the Holy Spirit, which maketh manifest unto the children of men according to their faith. As soon as I read that verse, I literally put in my margin, when do I feel the Holy Ghost? So can I ask you the question? When was the last time that you know you felt for sure the Holy Ghost, a prompting? Or maybe a better question is, how do you know when you feel the Spirit? I'm going to be really honest. I am not like, I don't get like the burning in the bosom like it talks about in Doctrine and Covenants. But one of the things that I do get is I get super like excited. Like when I am feeling the Spirit and I've made a decision and I know that I'm supposed to do it, I'm a very snap decision maker just instinctively, naturally. But when I have the Spirit backing, like my decisions are so like, oh, I've made a decision. Why can I not do it right now? And there have been some things in my life that I've really had to wait on. And I'm like, no. But I know this is the right direction. I know this is what I need to do. I know. And so don't make me sit here for a minute, because if I sit here, then I'm going to start doubting my answer. So then I have to go back and I have to pray for a second and go, hey, remember, I felt really excited. Oh, yep, there it is. I'm really excited. And I'm back in. And here we go. I love this because the Spirit wants to help us. See, we were given that gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we got to crack that open and we've got to feel it. In fact, feeling the Spirit or communion with the Holy Spirit, very candidly, my friends, is something that should be happening every single day. That is something you and I should feel every single day. We should be able to, as we go to say our evening prayer, reflect upon at least one moment, if not multiple moments throughout the day, when we have felt the Spirit. I know that for me, I felt the Spirit earlier today as I was preparing this. But ironically, I also felt the Spirit today in one of my meetings as I was sitting there talking, and we were talking about a decision that has recently been made. And as we were talking about the decision, I felt the Spirit just kind of gently get me excited and said, that's right. And I was like, yeah, it is right. So you and I, we've got to figure out what to do. So why is feeling the Spirit every day such a big deal? Well, because Jerem presents a concept to us that, honestly, I've been thinking about this concept now for a few days. And if you don't believe me, if you have his number, you can text my husband, because I came out from studying the other day and I said, I just saw something that just really intrigues me. Have you ever thought about this? And he was like, oh, no. So let me show you what I mean. Jerem, something we often skip. I love what he says in verse 7. And it came to pass that they came many times against us, the Nephites, to battle, but our kings and our leaders were mighty men in the faith of the Lord. And they taught the people the ways of the Lord. Wherefore, we withstood the Lamanites and swept them away out of our land and began to fortify our cities and whatsoever place of our inheritance. Now, did you catch here? He's saying, hey, we followed our kings and our leaders, and they were mighty in faith, faith in the Lord, and they followed the Lord. And this caused me to step back and go, okay, wait a second. Who is it that I am following? See, I don't know about you, but if I were to go on to any of my social media platforms, I've got tons of people that I'm following. And probably if I did an inventory, some of it might even be a little questionable. Is that fair? Or it may contain information that it may serve as a trigger to me, right? It might trigger some bad emotion, or it might trigger a bad habit, or it might trigger, you know, something traumatic that happened. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, if he was following, Jerem says, look, I was following the kings and leaders. They were mighty unto faith in the Lord. They taught the people the ways of the Lord. Why? Well, because they had to fortify their cities and they needed to prepare. Well, you and I already know what it is that they're preparing for. We know, because we know the rest of the story, right? We know that after Jerem here with Omni, we're going to have lots of battles that are going to take place. And the Lamanites and the Nephites are going to contend a lot one with another, all the way to where we get to King Benjamin, and King Benjamin is fighting, and he is using the actual sword of Laban in the battle. He says that. He says, I use the sword of Laban in the battle. So we've got all of this taking place, and here's Jerem saying, okay, who are you following? And you and I have to ask ourselves, wait a second, who is it that I'm following? And am I following the right things on social media? Am I following the right things in the news that are beneficial to me? Am I following the leaders of the church in the way that I should? So can I issue the first invitation? Will you take an inventory and potentially change what is needed so that you could better qualify for the Spirit every day? Can I invite you to do that, to take an inventory and change what may be needed in your life? And so the inventory may be that, hey, you need to go out on Instagram and you need to look at everybody you're following and go, is this good? Is it somebody that is mighty and helps promote faith in the Lord and the ways of the Lord and helps me prepare for my spiritual battles? Because the reality is I don't think that many of us are going to need to wield a sword anytime soon. Although if you do and you don't have one, come to my house. I've got like four. You probably won't need one, but you do need the sword of faith. Right? Isn't that what they had? Faith in the Savior. Now, why is all of this such a big deal? Well, here's this concept that I was telling you about. Ready? Verse 9. And thus, being prepared to meet the Lamanites, they did not prosper against us. Now, what made us the Lamanites couldn't prosper? The Nephites were prepared. How did they prepare? They were following the right things. But the word of the Lord was verified, which he spake unto our fathers. Now, I love that word verified. And I have been contemplating the word verified now for probably a good 48 plus hours. And as I think of the word verified, I decided I better dig in and understand what it means. And to verify something means to make sure or demonstrate that something is true, accurate, or justified. So here Nephi is saying, but the word of the Lord was verified. So the word of the Lord was accurate. The word of the Lord was true. The word of the Lord was justified. It was demonstrated that this is what happens. Now get this. This is what I affectionately call the Nephi promise. Get ready. Verified which he spake unto our fathers, saying that, here's what's verified, inasmuch as ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. That's what he's asking us to verify. The word of the Lord was verified what? That when we kept the commandments, we prospered in the land. Why couldn't the Lamanites overtake us? Because we were keeping the commandments. Which poses an important question of when in your life have you verified this pattern? Have you seen times in your life when you were doing a really great job of trying to keep the commandments and you were prospering? Now, by prospering, I'm not necessarily saying that you were like making more money or you were getting better grades. But have you noticed that when we really focus in and we're trying to fortify and be prepared, that life just is better? Even when hard things come, they're not quite as hard. And what I mean by that is we're able to approach them maybe with a little more faith than we might have when we're in one of those downslopes. Because let's be honest, if you're like me, my testimony sometimes goes a little bit like this, right? Or my faith does. My faith has got a little bit of a wavy ribbon going to it. Sometimes the waves are super deep and then they pop back up. And sometimes the waves are just like these little bumps as I go along. But here he's saying, okay, but have you seen this pattern work in your life? Have you seen that when you keep the commandments of God, you prosper? Verse 10. And it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did threaten the people of Nephi according to the word of God. Now, I'm not going to kid you. I had a real problem with that because I can't imagine a prophet threatening us. Like, I really did have a problem with that word. Can you imagine President Nelson threatening you, man? You about back it up. You about get yourself prepared. No, that's... And so I had to dig in a little bit into the word threaten. And the word threaten actually means retribution. And when we go deeper and go, okay, well, what really is retribution? Well, retribution means to inflict punishment or vengeance. That does sound like God, if we put it in this context. And it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did say that God was going to take vengeance on the people of Nephi if they did not keep the commandments and fall into transgression. They would be destroyed from off the face of the land. That sounds like the God I know, doesn't it? So let's read the verse how it's really written. Verse 10, and it came to pass that the prophets of the Lord did threaten the people of Nephi according to the word of God, meaning God is going to have vengeance if they did not keep the commandments but fell into transgression. They should be destroyed from off the face of the land. So I think one of the things that we forget is that God, while he is merciful and loving and kind, I think we forget that he's a parent. And I don't know about you, but as a parent, some of the hardest days for me are when I have to correct. I can remember my mom saying when I was a teenager and I'd get in trouble and she'd say, "This is so hard for me to do, but..." And I remember thinking, "What evs? You're like the dictator royale, making my life hard. Thanks a lot." And now that I'm a parent, guess what? One of the hardest things I have to say to my children is a two-letter word: no. Or a two-word phrase: we can't. With a phrase, "It doesn't work like that." Or in my house, sometimes it comes out as, "It's not going down like that. Let me give you the skinny," right? So here we have this amazing guy, Jerem, saying, "Look, I was taught all the really cool things from my dad, my grandpa, my great uncle. They've given everything you need to be saved. And if you don't have a stiff neck, I promise you that you're going to be able to feel the Holy Ghost. So check yourself and see who it is that you're following, because you can verify that when you keep the commandments, you're going to prosper in the land. And P.S., if you don't keep the commandments, then Heavenly Father is going to destroy you." And he wraps it up with this: "And it came to pass that by so doing," verse 12, "they kept them from being destroyed upon the face of the land, for they did prick their hearts with the word continually, stirring them up unto repentance." Now, I understand what a prick is, as in not a person, but a thing. When I get pricked, it's to be poked with something really sharp. And so he's saying they did prick their hearts. So you felt this like, ooh. And I'm confident that all of us are like me, and you experienced at least one thing in General Conference that pricked your heart. That as you listen to it, or now as you've reread some of those talks, you're like, "Oof, ow, thank you. I appreciate that." And why does it prick? Well, because it's something that you and I need to repent of or change. So it goes back to that first invitation. Will you take inventory and change what is needed so that you can better feel the Spirit? See, you may be saying to yourself, "Well, why is this really such a big deal?" Well, we go into the next book, Omni, and we find another writer. His name is Amaron. And Amaron doesn't write a whole lot. In fact, he gives us, what, 4 or 5 verses here? But in his verses, in verse number 6, Amaron says this as he's writing. Check it. Verse 6 of Omni. "And the Lord would not suffer after he had led them out of the land of Jerusalem, and kept and preserved them from falling into the hands of their enemies, yea, he would not suffer that their words should not be verified, which he spake unto our fathers, saying that, inasmuch as you will not keep my commandments, you shall not prosper in the land. So now here is Amron saying, hey, I know the opposite to be true, that when we don't keep the commandments of God, we don't prosper in the land. Now, you may be saying to yourself, yeah, but Candace, I know people who are not keeping the commandments who seem to have a pretty dang good life. Totally get it. Totally get it. And I have two words for you. Long game. President Nelson calls it think celestial. Again, we have to go back. We got to y'all, people. We have got to y'all that it is life eternal. We need to smile because spiritually minded is life eternal. Why do we want to be smiling? Because we get that we are living forever. And when I live forever, when I'm talking about prospering in the land, I'm not just talking about right here, right now, in this minute moment. Now, can the Lord help me prosper in this exact moment of time? 100%, 1,000 times, yes. Is that necessarily what's needed? 100 times, 1,000 times? Not always. And so he's saying, okay, so verify then, inasmuch as you will not keep my commandment, you shall not prosper in the land. Which poses the question, so which one is true in your life right now? Where are you standing with all of this? See, as we get to the book of Omni, we find something very interesting. We have five different authors. Makes you kind of go like, what's up with that, right? If I had my own scriptures, I'd block these and kind of follow along. Verses 1-3 is our first author. His name is Omni. And Omni, his father is none other than Jerem. But Omni says, I of myself am a wicked man. I love that he owns it. Like, here's the scriptures. Oh, but I'm wicked and we're in serious war. And so that's about all he says. I'm a wicked dude. I don't have much more to say than that. So what does he do? Well, Omni, he takes the plates and in verses 4-8, he hands them to Amron, who we just heard from. Now, who's Amron? Well, Amron is the son of Omni. And he writes, he gives us that concept of verified. And then he says this, verse 7, wherefore the Lord did visit them in great judgment. Nevertheless, he did spare the righteous that they should not perish, but he did deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. This I know to be a true principle, that the Lord does come in judgment, but he does spare the righteous. I've seen that way too many times to not know that to be true. So Amram, that's all he writes, really. And he says, okay, I'm going to give these plates to my brother Chemish. So that makes Chemish the son of Omni. And remember, Omni said, I'm a wicked dude. So what does Chemish do? Well, Chemish writes one verse. I love his verse because it's just this like, hey, I'm going to write a few things in the same book that my brother did because I saw him write what he wrote and now I'm writing this. Okay, peace out, Girl Scout. Like, that's pretty much what he says. He makes an end of his writing. And what does Chemish do? Well, Chemish turns around and he gives it to an individual by the name of Abinadon. That's just a fun name, period. So Chemish gives the record to Abinadon. Well, who is Abinadon? Well, Abinadon is the son of Chemish. And so Abinadon, I love him. He writes, he says, I have killed a lot of people with my own swords. I've taken lives of the Lamanites. And then I love in verse 11, he just happens to throw in there, and I know of no revelation save that which has already been written by the prophets. And that suffices. So is Abinadon righteous or wicked? Don't really know. But we know he doesn't know of any new revelation. And so what does he do? Well, he takes the plates and he gives them to an individual by the name of Amaleki. Who's Amaleki? Well, Amaleki is the son of Abinadon. And Amaleki then writes for the rest of this book, 12-30. And what he does is he writes and he gets us from this time all the way to King Mosiah and subsequently to King Benjamin. So he does this like big overview. He tells us about the people of Zarahemla. He talks to us about how the people of Zarahemla are contemporaries to Lehi. Why? Well, because in verse 15, came to pass that Mosiah discovered that the people of Zarahemla came out from Jerusalem at the time that Zedekiah, king of Judah, was carried away captive into Babylon. Well, if you remember, what was Lehi prophesying? Clear back in 1 Nephi chapter 1, Lehi is back here prophesying, and he's saying what? 1 Nephi 1:4, for it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt in Jerusalem all his days. And then you see here, many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city of Jerusalem must be destroyed. And that's where your people, Zarahemla, come from. Now, in case you're saying, wait, you've totally lost me on what you're talking about. I get it. I totally get it. And we'll make it clear as we jump into the book of Mosiah. But what we really need to get here from Amaleki is what he says in verse number 25. And it came to pass, here's Amaleki, that I began to be old and having no seed, and knowing King Benjamin to be a just man before the Lord, wherefore I shall deliver up these plates unto him, exhorting all men to come unto God, the Holy One of Israel, and believe in prophesying and in revelation and in the ministering of angels and in the gift of speaking with tongues and in the gift of interpreting languages and in all things which are good, for there is nothing which is good save it come from the Lord, and that which is evil cometh from the devil. I love that here Amaleki is saying, wait, here's some things that you need to make sure that you believe in. Did you catch him? Come to God and believe in prophesying. Do you believe that the words that were delivered at General Conference are the words for today? That they were prophesied to you and I today to help prepare us? He says, and believe in revelation. Are you doing what you need to do to qualify for the Spirit to get personal revelation, to help you follow the revelations that are given by our leaders? Believe in the ministering of angels. I've had too many things happen in my life to ever doubt that there are others on the other side who are trying to help you and I desperately be successful. Believe in the gift of speaking with tongues. Eso lo he visto. Just kidding. I have seen this in my life multiple times. Believe in the gift of interpreting languages. But I love this catch-all. And in all things which are good. For there is nothing which is good save it come from God. So here we have five examples of records. We get record one, I'm a bad dude. Record two, I don't really know what I am. Record three, I got nothing to say. Record four, I don't know of any revelations. And record five, let me tell you a little bit about my life, but more importantly, let me tell you how to be happy and what you should believe in. Friends, with that being said, what would your record look like? Well, I know the plates at Candace right now have like big gaping holes in them. There was a time that I was really good at writing in a journal and keeping a record, and then I like fell off the wagon and have not been able to get it back. I kept a record every day through high school. I kept a record every day on my mission. I kept a record almost every day that I was teaching seminary. And then I got married, and I don't know if it's like the kids and the job and all the things that I was trying to balance, and that just is something that gave. But if you were to look at my record right now, you'd be like, what the heck? I don't even have like the small plates of Candace that have like, oh, and I got this really cool answer to a prayer, which I probably should start recording all of these, because there are details that you and I are leaving out that can benefit others. Because the reality is even though Omni comes and he says, I am myself, I am wicked, he at least gives us an understanding of his day and gives us a glimpse. So what are details and things that you should be recording and sharing? Well, that's Jeremiah Omni. And as I look at it, there are a couple of things here that you and I, we need to go and do. First, will you go and take inventory, change what is needed so that you can better qualify for the Spirit? Now remember, when we're talking about inventory, it may be inventory of your music. It may be inventory of the books that you read. It might be inventory of the friends that you keep. It may be inventory of your Instagram. But who's it that you're following that maybe you need to tweak so that you better qualify for the Spirit? Because according to the prophet, you and I are not going to make it without the Spirit. And second, will you keep a record that's better than Chemish's? Now, in case you don't remember what Chemish's record says, I'm going to read you his whole record. Let this not be who you are. Here we go. Now I, Chemish, write what few things I write in the same book with my brother. For behold, I saw the last which he wrote, that he wrote it with his own hands, and he wrote it in the day that he delivered them unto me. And after this manner we keep the record, for it is according to the commandments of our Father, and I make an end. I think you and I can do a little bit better. So will you start today keeping a record that's a little bit better than Chemish's? I know that as we qualify for the Spirit, we will have experiences that will be worth recording. Because as we record those, then we're able to rely upon them, grow from them, and qualify for more. I am so grateful for Jerem and Omni and for the opportunity that I have to verify that when I keep the commandments, I prosper. May this week be prosperous because you're keeping those commandments. Go out and do. Take care. The Go and Do podcast is created by me, Candace Shoup, and edited and produced by Cami Fisher. We'd absolutely love it if you would take the time to follow us where you listen to your podcasts, along with download. And if you like what you're listening to, please leave us a review. We also invite you to follow us on Instagram at Go and Do Podcast. And if you want to talk to me personally, feel free to email thegoanddopodcast@gmail.com. Remember, friends, to have a good time, don't be a good time. Let's go and do.